Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go on a Thursday, a beautiful, rambunctious Thursday where the NFL begins tonight. It's the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we're on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. Cowboys, Bucks tonight in Tampa, Dak and Brady, Arians, McCarthy. Very exciting, Joy Taylor. Thursday.
I actually can't believe it's tonight.
No, our jobs, they're easier. Our job is easier starting tonight.
Yes.
There's no question. We got college and pro football, and we'll get more hate mail over the next 6 months starting tonight.
Yes. After this weekend, I feel like there's like a rise in hope or like a very big smack of reality for everyone that's like gotten all excited about preseason.
Yeah.
But every team has a great storyline this year.
So let's start with this. 340 days, two surgeries, Dak Prescott returns. And I've always had this, what do I do with Dak? How good is Dak? What is Dak? I like the intangibles more than I do the talent. And I'll give you an example. So what I do for big games is I get a yellow sheet of paper, and I just go 1 through 10 or 1 through 12. I'll do 1 through 12, and I list the best players in the game. And that gives me a sense of who's the better team. So Tampa is favored tonight by, you know, over a touchdown, and they're at home, and they return everybody. So this shows you the struggle I have. I'll give you the 12 best players, and these are elite players at their position. So Brady's the best quarterback ever. Mike Evans, probably number two, the toughest receiver in the league to defend in the red zone. Lavonte David, three, Shaq Barrett, four, elite linebackers. Tristan Wirfs now viewed as the first or second best right tackle. I would put DeMarcus Lawrence was the highest graded Cowboy last year at six. Didn't get a lot of sacks, but he's very good. I'm going to give Zeke the benefit of the doubt. He's had three straight declining years, but they say he's in the best shape of his career, so I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. Early in the season, before all those carries, he's still, I think, a really good back, number seven. Vita Vea, Ali Marpet, interior lineman, D&O for the Bucs. Then I end it with three receivers. Amari Cooper, 10, is slightly better than Chris Godwin of the Bucs, 11, who's slightly more established and better this morning than CeeDee Lamb, who I think is going to have a big, big year. Eight of the 12 are Bucs. And then you say, well, where's Dak? And that's always my issue with Dak. Is he elite? I have two issues with Dak, and I'd like everybody to prove me wrong. Number one is, he no longer beats good teams. Since the start of 2019, he has one win over a playoff team. And it was barely a playoff team, Philadelphia 9-7. He played them later that year and was awful. In fact, I went this morning and I looked at his last 12 wins. Three over rebuilding New York, two over rebuilding Washington, two over Philadelphia, one Tampa pre-Brady, Atlanta, Detroit, 5-11 Miami, and a Ram team that didn't make the playoffs. There's not a lot there. He doesn't beat good teams enough. Doesn't mean I don't like him. But Cowboy fans, you can't have it both ways. You can't argue you have all these great players and Dak's great and you're not winning games. You can't feast on rebuilding teams. And the second thing is, the Cowboys won more when they were less dependent. They won more when Dak did less, right? Like when Zeke, first 3 years, was in his prime, they won more. First year when Zeke broke into the league, 13-3. I mean, Dak wasn't throwing for 300 and 400 yards regularly. So when Dak did less, the Cowboys won more. The more they ask him to do, the less the Cowboys win. So Dallas's recent erosion is more about the decline of Zeke. In fact, let me ask you this. Prove me wrong. When's the last big, important Cowboy win that Dak led them? You can't think about it. Pittsburgh, his rookie year. That was impressive. First thing I thought of, a Seattle playoff game. I went and looked it up. And it was actually Zeke who led them. Dak's passer rating that day, it was okay. It was like 83. It was fine. It was Dak. And I never quite know what to do with Dak. I don't think he's elite at his position. I do think he's productive. I tend to like the intangibles more than the tangibles. But all the other quarterbacks in this league that I love, your Lamars and your Russells and your Mahomes and your Josh Allens and your Aarons and your Bradys, I like the tangibles. Intangibles are good too, but I really like the tangibles. With Dak, I don't. I like the intangibles. And so as we watch this game tonight, there's a reason I have my doubts about Dallas this year. Because I do think Zeke is declining. It may stop this year, but they become more dependent on Dak. And over the last 2 to 3 years, the more dependent on Dak, the fewer wins. All right, this was a story that broke yesterday on our show, and it's not everything, but it's something. So NFL teams now, almost all of them, have named their captains. Now, it should be noted there's four teams in the NFL, Dallas, Baltimore, Chicago, Cleveland. They don't name captains. They do that weekly. Then there's the other 28 teams. So of those teams, 22 have named their captains, and 20 have named quarterbacks. New England didn't with rookie Mac Jones. And then the only other team that didn't name their quarterback a captain was Miami. In fact, Miami is the only team in the league that has reported so far that has captains that didn't name their quarterback. Now, think about that. I'm not talking rookie. So take Mac Jones out. He's a rookie. Tua's not a rookie. Tua is the only quarterback in the league this morning who is not a rookie. Of the teams that have captains, it's the only team that didn't name their quarterback captain. By the way, Teddy Bridgewater was in a quarterback battle until 2 weeks ago. He's captain. Jared Goff in Detroit's a captain. And none of you like Jared Goff. Ryan Fitzpatrick's a captain for the second year in a row. Jalen Hurts. Remember, they weren't going to. Is he a starter? Captain. So, and you say to yourself, Colin, you're making a big deal. It's no big deal. But it is a big deal. Here's Robert Saleh, the coach of the Jets. Here is his reaction. He was asked about this yesterday. He was surprised. He didn't know who the captains would be, right? The players vote on it. And Zach Wilson, the rookie quarterback. I mean, most of the Jets' good players are on defense. The rookie quarterback was named captain. The rookie. Never played an NFL snap. And here was Robert Saleh's reaction.
When I did see it, I was like, oh, look at that. You know, so it's, I think it's more of a testament to him and the way he's been able to conduct himself here. And like I said, I mean, you go to the cafeteria and he's hanging out with his O-lineman. He's got an infectious personality. So credit to him and the way he's handled himself so far.
Oh, look at that. That was Robert Saleh's reaction. That was kind of cool. Look at that. Tua. By the way, Vic Fangio, Denver coach, listen to the words described. It says a lot because Drew Locke and Bridgewater were battling to be starters until a week ago. Teddy just got it. So he didn't even take all the snaps at his position, and he was named a captain. Listen to the words Vic Fangio uses.
I just think, Teddy's that, you know, obviously the quarterback of the team. He has good leadership qualities, got good people skills. I think guys kind of gravitate towards him, and I think that's reflective in him getting elected.
I'm saying Ryan Fitzpatrick got it last year in Miami. Tua didn't get it. Right now, only team that's not named a quarterback that played last year, captain, one team, Miami. And they were also in the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes 2 weeks ago. Just saying. These are not opinions. This is not opinion, Colin. This is journalism. This is facts, Colin. So Brian Flores was definitive. Tua is our guy. Not according to his teammates. I say this all the time. Teammates know. Can't fool the players. You cannot fool the players. You may be able to fool them for a week or two in the NFL. Raw, we're going to win all our games and bite their kneecaps. About week 3, all the players know. Can't fool the players. Players didn't vote for Tua. It's something. Not everything. It's something. All right. So I'm down on the Steelers this year. And I'll explain why. I have them sub 500. I just, you know, now that we have an odd number of games, it kind of stinks. Because I look at the Steelers and Denver, and I'm like, I feel like 500 teams. You're no longer allowed to be a 500 team in the NFL. That stinks. As a guy who predicts outcomes, it was always so much easier to just say, they'll be 500. Now, I have the Steelers as a losing team. And I don't really feel like they're losers. I just don't think they're going to be big winners. But I want to talk about that next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Mercedes-Benz, the compact GLA. It's not the size of the SUV in the fight. Size of the fight in the SUV. MBUSA.com. Mercedes-Benz, best or nothing. So a Greg Cosell top for the first time really in our football season. Greg Cosell every Thursday, top of hour two. Nobody as objective breaks down the film. What will we expect tonight? Love having Greg on. Jimmy Johnson, the legend, the Hall of Famer, last hour. So I'm going to start with a Big Ben bite. They got a bunch of new stuff. And then I'm going to go to something I tell my kids all the time. And so let's start with a Big Ben bite. New offensive line, new offensive coordinator, rookie running back. A lot of moving new parts here. Here's Ben on the season.
Once again, like anything, there's going to be growing pains, and we're all going to experience them. Even someone in their 18th season is going to experience growing pains. The key is, do we learn from those growing pains? How often do those pains come?
Now, if there were only 16 games in the NFL, which there were except this year in my life, you know, it's 14 when I was a kid, 16 now, I'd call the Steelers an 8-8 team. I think the division's better. The AFC's better. I think they're an 8-8 football team. But since I have to pick a side, I picked 8-9. Probably a little risky because Mike Tomlin's never had a losing season. But it is interesting to note that when you take legendary quarterbacks and go to their last year with the team we identify them with, like Drew Brees, we identify him as a Saint, although it wasn't his first team. If you go to their last year, and I think this could be Ben's last year, it generally doesn't end well. Jim Kelly, last year in Buffalo, 14 TDs, 19 picks. Tom Brady, New England. We identify him as a Patriot, right? His last year, he had a passer rating of 88 for the GOAT. Drew Brees last year, got hurt, no playoff win. Phillip Rivers last year, 23 TDs, 20 picks, 5-11. Cam Newton's last year in Carolina, hurt. Peyton's last year in Indy, hurt. Eli's last year in the Giants, benched. It usually doesn't end well, and the end is near. And this is what I always tell my kids. Waste time in college, because when you get out of college, you never know if the best job of your life is going to be offered. Be buttoned up and ready to go. College is different. You got 4 years in college. You take, let's say, 16 credits a semester. You got 4 or 5 classes. Monday, you got 2 classes. Tuesday, you got 3. Wednesday, 1. Thursday, 3. You can schedule my daughter did her entire career. Friday, off. You got 3-day weekends in college. Then she gets a month off in December. She gets 2 months off in the summer. Travel. Have fun. You don't need a 4-point in college. Your high school grades are bigger than your college grades, actually. I've never had anybody ask for my grades in my entire career. It's the high school grades that get you into the college. And so I always said, waste some time in college. Go to some parties. Summer, travel. Backpack to Amsterdam. Whatever you can afford. But when you get out of college, be ready to go. Amazon. One of your college roommates ends up being really smart and having a business. Be ready to go. Don't waste time. And I feel like the Steelers have wasted so many years. I'll give you an example. There were and I know Ben's now in the best shape of his life, but there were opportunities in the AFC. There was the Peyton Manning's getting old in Indianapolis years. Yeah, Tom Brady won Super Bowls during those years. There was the Colts have Andrew Luck, but they're really poorly run years. Yeah, Tom Brady beat Luck and won Super Bowl those years. Cleveland, Cincinnati are layups if you play them. They're terrible. Yeah, Tom Brady was winning in New England when they were winning Super Bowls in those years. There's the Andy Reid in the AFC, but he doesn't have a star quarterback yet. Tom Brady, he's been in Super Bowl in those years. There were so many years in the AFC. The Peyton's getting old. Okay, Luck's there. He's great, but the organization's bad. Andy's now in our conference, but he doesn't have a star quarterback. Cleveland, Cincinnati, and your division are awful. Totally chaotic. Those are all over now. Like, Cleveland's got a coach and a better roster. And Andy does have a star quarterback. And now you start looking around and, oh, the Chargers have a quarterback and Buffalo's got a quarterback and Carson Wentz is now in the conference. All those years just wasted by Pittsburgh. Forget it now. Three teams in your division have better rosters, arguably. Two for sure. Now, I'll give you over Cincinnati, my bad. Two teams in your division have better rosters, Baltimore and Cleveland. The years of you winning that division and winning championships, they're over. And you wasted a lot. And I've said this a little bit about Green Bay. Although Green Bay is getting to conference championships, so I don't feel as strongly about it, but Green Bay wasted some really good years. There was the Russell Wilson's playing behind the worst O-line in the NFC years. They didn't get any Super Bowls there. There was the McVay and Shanahan don't quite have their star quarterback years. There was the Drew Brees is getting old, Eli's getting benched, and the Tom Brady's not in your conference years. They weren't winning Super Bowls in those years. So I feel with Pittsburgh and Green Bay, you have these openings, legends aging, good teams poorly run. Andy Reid doesn't have a star quarterback. And I feel like Pittsburgh just kind of frittered away all those years. I mean, just think about this. There was about a 10-year, 12-year time for Ben, 4-0 against the Browns Bengals. You could just write it down in your pocket schedule. You wouldn't even get an argument from people in Cleveland or Cincinnati. Those days are over. Cleveland's better. Baltimore is better. And Cincinnati's got an offense. They can beat you in a shootout. Their roster's not better yet, but they can beat you in a shootout. You better be ready when you go to Cincinnati. Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, speaking of those Packers, things seem to have cooled off, at least temporarily, between Aaron Rodgers and the Packers after a very contentious offseason. Their first game is just days away, but Aaron says there is some uncertainty about the team's future.
There is a lot of unknowns. I've talked about it various times throughout camp. We're just focusing on accountability and holding each other accountable because regardless of what happens with any of our situations, this group will not be together the way it is now in years down the line.
Ooh.
Yeah, can
well,
I
not
just...
quite the same approach as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Can I push back a little? I don't think Green Bay has a lot of unknowns. I think the unknowns with Green Bay are mostly provided by Mr. Mystery. Mr. I'm going to retire.
Beautiful mystery.
Yeah, I think almost all of the Packers this morning are knowns. Star corner, star running back, star receiver, solid defense, best roster in division, very capable head coach. The unknown is Aaron's mood today, Aaron's temperament during the season, Aaron's relationship with his boss. The unknowns are Aaron. The only other unknown on that roster is David Bakhtiari when he comes back in 6 weeks. Will he be healthy at left tackle? That I think the answer is going to be yes. That's a little bit of an unknown because it's a serious injury, and he's a great player. But
I feel like he's speaking more to like what's going to happen in the future,
which,
like,
by
after
way,
this year.
Do we know that? This roster's all knowns, almost all knowns.
No, like what's on the field, yes. But I think he's speaking more to what's going to happen after this year. Like, and he wants to focus just on this year. Aaron's made it pretty clear that this is a year-by-year situation
right.
with the Packers. Now, I don't think that he's going to be there next year. I think he's very much laid out a path for some separation. Like, it feels like... we've got one more year of the kid in high school. Let's just keep it together. You can go away on the weekends. I'll go on my golf trips. And let's just act normal at home until he gets out of here. And then we can go our separate ways. He'll be an adult then. He'll be all right. He can, you know,
I wonder when deal with
his woes in college. But that's what it feels like. It feels like it's going towards separation. They did have the negotiation before he came into training camp with his his contract, converting his base salary into a signing bonus and saving some cap space, and now he has a deal through 2022. Moving forward into next year, though, he's projected to have the second highest cap hit.
Yeah, which takes you out of the Super Bowl.
You can't, $46.1 million.
Yeah, you can't. You're not
going to behind only Matt Ryan.
You cannot win a Super Bowl if your quarterback's making $46 million in 2022. So you just can't. I mean, that's just what the that's what it tells you. We talked about this week.
No, it was a very illuminating. I don't even know if it was a statistic, but just
Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers cannot win the Super Bowl this year based on the last 10 to 12 years in the NFL.
Yes.
When your quarterback's cap hit is in the territory
it's of over, if it's over like 12.5%.
Well, yeah. The highest is 12.2, and that's Brady.
Yeah.
Basically, unless you're the GOAT, it has to be 11 or lower, and Aaron's getting into the 14%, and Russell Wilson's in the 17.5%. So you just, you have. You're too perilously thin. You can lose. Seattle loses Dwayne Brown. They're out. Or Bobby Wagner. And if Devontae Adams goes, you're done. You're too thin.
But to your point about the Steelers and the Packers, as you were just discussing, this is why, and I've been harping on that Steelers window closing for years. Like, they needed to be more aggressive. You had Antonio Brown, Big Ben, and Le'Veon Bell on your offense. How are you not doing more in those years? And obviously that time has sincerely passed. But the same with the Packers. That's why that Jordan Love pick is so egregious to me, because you are in a situation where you're in back-to-back NFC championship games. Your only focus should be getting over that line.
Right.
That should be your only focus. Forget about planning for the future, especially at that position. And that, like, good organizations obviously have a little eye on the future and are focusing on now, but if you're looking at that number, that's not how you win championships anymore. You have to have it balanced.
Yeah.
So you need to be being aggressive when you have the roster together. Yeah. Otherwise, what are you building this for? To just be good?
Right.
Are you trying to be great? So Jameis Winston beat out Taysom Hill to be the Saints' starting quarterback this season, and he is very grateful to have another opportunity to be a starter in the NFL.
Man, it's just fun. It's a blessing. It's a blessing to have this opportunity to lead the pack, and I'm just grateful for it. You know, it's been almost more than a year removed from me having the opportunity, and I'm not taking anything for granted, and I'm blessed and grateful.
He's an incredibly mature kid now. I mean, he's really been humbled. Not only did Tampa bail on him, but think about his psychology. The guy that replaced me in Tampa took the same players and won the Super Bowl without a preseason.
Well,
totally humbling for him.
Yeah, no, it is. I think it would hurt my feelings a little less that it's Tom Brady that did it. Takes a little bit of that sting off. But yeah, I think this was a good place for Jameis to land.
I always felt
like he was going to win the starting job. He just has so much more experience than Taysom Hill doing that every single week.
You know,
he
it's
has
like, you know,
70
you talk,
starts.
I talked about college earlier. If your kid's a partier, you probably don't want him, when he goes to college, to get his first roommate who's also a partier.
Right.
Right, right? So you're hoping your son or your daughter, they're partiers, late-nighters, rooms with a kid that's kind of quiet and goes to bed early, and your son or daughter parties a little less. Jameis's style is let her rip. Big arm, throw it. And Bruce Arians' style is let her rip. He was a bad fit. And that doesn't mean Jameis or Bruce aren't good. Sean's actually the roommate that Jameis needed at college.
Him down.
Which is efficiency. We're not going to throw it deep as much. You're going to have a run game. Sean is detailed and efficient driven. Jameis and Arians just provided more of Jameis's worst habits, which is let her rip, go big downtown. And I actually think, I really do. Now, I don't like New Orleans weapons right now because they lost Emmanuel Sanders and Michael Thomas out. But if Thomas comes back, this is why I think Jameis is actually going to play eventually this year. He's going to look like a really good quarterback. He's going to look like Matt Ryan. You're like, oh, this is a really good guy. You can win games with him.
I definitely think he's going to be more efficient. And they still have Taysom Hill, so they're going to use Taysom in the same way that they used him last year. Michael Thomas isn't eligible to return until week 7. So
that's a problem.
That's a significant loss there. And they just let Latavius Murray go as well, who's backup, but still was a significant contributor to the offense as well. Now they still have Alvin Kamara. But I think he is going to look more efficient. Fox Bet has their over-under at 8.5 wins. I think I would go with the under there.
Slight under.
Yeah. I mean, it's just there's a lot that they're rebuilding here.
They're a little bit like New England, but
yes, last year.
They're like, listen, the COVID year.
But I think that Jameis will be better than Cam.
So do I. He's a better thrower of the football. Yeah. No doubt in my mind there.
So Andy Dalton is QB1 for the Bears on Sunday night against the Rams, despite Justin Fields being there this year, being drafted. And he's been getting questions, Andy Dalton has, all summer about the rookie waiting to take his spot. But he said he is not focusing on the pressure to keep his starting job.
That's the worst thing you could do is look over your shoulder. And so, I think that's understanding that is key. Tuning out the stuff that you don't need to focus on and knowing where you need to put your time and effort and all that kind of stuff. I think that's just where I'm at. And you don't worry about all the other stuff.
Sunday Night Football.
I can't wait for this. Also, just another little note for you. You love the jersey numbers. Since August 1st on Fanatics, Josh Allen, Mac Jones, Tom Brady, number 4, Justin Fields. Not the starter. Not the starter in Chicago. Patrick Mahomes at 5.
That is funny. So these are the top, at Fanatics, the top selling jerseys.
Now, this is not terribly surprising.
Let me make a prediction on Twitter Sunday night. If you're a member of the Andy Dalton family, stay off Twitter.
Oh,
every incompletion will be judged as if it's the end of time.
Oh, if he throws an interception or a fumble.
Turn off your phone. Dalton family members, just wife, kids, family.
That's very unfair.
But no, it's totally unfair, but you can see it coming for miles.
Of course, he cannot have a bad game.
If he has to go, like, I don't know if they can run the football, but if he goes 23 of 30, a TD, a pick, and plays fine, I mean, that would be a nice night against the Rams defense. Watch the criticism for Dalton. Nobody's going to be fair in Chicago about this.
No.
The gloves are off.
FoxBet has the over-under for Justin Fields starts this season at 10.5.
Say it again?
10.5 starts for Justin Fields this year on FoxBet.
Oh, it's going to be higher than that. That Fox Bet's giving away money. That's it?
Yeah, 10.5.
Oh, no. That is.
Yeah, because I think Justin Fields starts week 4 against the Lions.
Yeah, I like the over on that.
Because.
See, here's the thing. Let's just pretend. So Andy's solid against the Rams but loses.
Yes.
He's 22.
That's what I think will happen.
22 of 32, a TD, a pick. And the reality is Aaron Donald eats the Bears alive and they can't run the ball. It's just an ugly kind of game. Then Andy is going to beat Cincinnati at home.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's going to be like, okay. And then I think what happens is they go to Cleveland and they can't block Myles Garrett and they lose. And that's the week that you sit there and you say to yourself, if you're Matt Nagy, we got Detroit and the Raiders, and we have a better team. We have a better roster than those guys. That's an easy point. Justin Fields, they're not layups, but Detroit at home and at the Raiders who have no pass rush.
That's a good place to put him in before you have Green Bay, Tampa, San Francisco,
that's right.
And the Steelers.
And you can go to Andy and say, Andy, we played two good teams. You lost to both. So you gave Andy a shot.
Yes.
3 starts. And against the good team, you could just say, Andy, we gave you the starts and we narrowly beat Cincinnati. We lost to the two good teams. And then I think you can go. And that's because I just don't see Chicago going to L.A. or Cleveland and winning. And I think that's we predicted a few years ago. We predicted the day Lamar Jackson would start. Remember week 11, we got lucky on that. I think you're looking at week 4, yeah. Home Detroit is the Justin Fields opener.
No, and everything you just said is I think exactly how it will go, because that's against the Lions and the Raiders are two good places for Justin Fields to get out there and get some experience starting before you have that lineup of Green Bay, Tampa, San Francisco, and the Steelers right before your bye. It's kind of a... Not saying we know what's going to happen, but...
So much fun. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Baker and the Browns are both fine with slow playing the contract. It is amazing. This is Tom Brady's 300th start. 300th. I'm going to go back to his first start and show you how football has changed today. It is incredible, not just pro, but college. Just to show you how long, in fact, I got to read you this stat. This is funny. This is actually funny. Three players in the NFL were drafted, had great careers, retired for the 5 years you need to be eligible for the Hall of Fame, and then were voted into the Hall of Fame since Tom's first start. Ed Reed, Calvin Johnson, and Troy Polamalu literally were drafted, had great careers, retired for 5 years, and then were voted in, and Tom's still playing, and looks like he did 9 years ago. I mean, that is the extension.
That's crazy.
It's crazy. I mean, Ed Reed, I felt like he played forever. And he was out of the 5 years he was gone. Then he's in the Hall of Fame. Tom's still rolling. That is a career. We'll talk about that coming up next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
All right, good to have you in. 17 years in the NFL. He was a Pro Bowler. In fact, the first game ever started for the Jags. He was the quarterback, Steve Berline. He's joining us now live as the NFL starts tonight. You had Coughlin, Jimmy Johnson, Mike Shanahan, Lou Holtz, Buddy Ryan, Capers, George Seifert. You had a lot of different coaches. And, you know, it sometimes takes a while, obviously, for Tom Brady, Bruce Arians, and him. It scuffled, I think, early, got to the bye week. They kind of figured it out. It became more of a Tom offense, less than a Bruce Arians offense. As you look back, and now they've got a championship, they've got a preseason together, do you think the Tampa offense takes a step, or this is kind of what they are? What we saw last year is what they are.
Well, I think there's a lot of different ways to look at it. I mean, you know, the second half of the season, or really the last seven games of the season that were all wins for them, they got hot just in time. They got healthy going into the playoffs, and it worked out just perfectly for them. Obviously, ending with the Super Bowl championship, their confidence is sky high this year. They're going into the season with a rejuvenated attitude, a belief that they can do it. They did make some additions on both sides of the ball. I'm sure that'll make them better from their own perspective, or they wouldn't have made those moves. But the bottom line is that this is a good football team that has the GOAT, as you know, and he has the ability to infuse that confidence into his team that they can do whatever they want to do. And it was just amazing what they did the second half of that season through the playoffs. They're a dangerous football team, obviously, as long as they can keep number 12 on his feet and upright, they're going to be in every ball game. We know that right to the bitter end.
Yeah, now they have three elite offensive linemen, Wirfs, Ali Marpet, Jensen. It was funny, last year at this time, we looked at Tampa and we said, we just don't know about the offensive line. Actually, Tristan Wirfs being so great, now I actually feel it's one of their better units. So I do feel there's a sense now that it's about refining and not finding, just kind of refining stuff. When you go to Dallas tonight, you know, listen, it's been a long time. It's been 340 days and a couple of surgeries, and he didn't play any snaps in the preseason. You know, I mean, you guys can all throw it in your 50s. I don't worry about Dak throwing the ball, but do you sense tonight a little rust? I mean, if you went 340 days in the middle of your career without live bullets, what do you expect from Dak tonight?
Well, you know, and there is the confidence factor. Like you said, he hasn't played in the preseason. Remember now, too, Colin, the Cowboys didn't fall apart after Dak got hurt. They were 1-3 when he got hurt and should have been 0-4 if it weren't for that muffed onside kick against the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah.
So they were struggling when he got hurt. And then to go that long without playing, and then, of course, to – open the season with the defending Super Bowl champs. It's not what you you know, your ideal comeback situation for Dak. But the bottom line is he's a very confident guy. He's got the big contract. He knows he can get the job done. He's a more than effective and productive NFL QB. It's going to be like riding a bike when he gets out there. But I do expect there to be some rust. I do expect it to maybe take a game or two before he gets back into his real stride. He's going to need to get hit. He's going to need to get back up. He's going to need to get his timing back. game speed and all that kind of stuff. It's going to be an adjustment. I expect him to be rusty. Doesn't mean I don't think the Cowboys can win, but he's going to have to play pretty darn well to give him a chance to win tonight.
It's not everything, but Tua is the only returning quarterback in the NFL not named captain of his team. Now, Mac Jones wasn't, but he's a rookie. Every other quarterback so far on a team that returned was named quarterback except Tua. And the players vote on this. Even, you know, Zach Wilson and Trevor Lawrence, the rookies got it. What do you make of that? What do you make of that?
Well, you know, that's a great question. And I do think every locker room is different. Every coach is different. You know, coach might have made it clear to the team that they want Tua to earn it before just giving him that title. He hasn't proven himself at this level yet. So I'm not surprised. I believe that, you know, there's a lot of hesitation about coronating this guy. You know, all the talk still sometimes out there about Deshaun Watson maybe being a target of theirs or someone else coming in at some point. But, you know, Tua is a guy that has, and I think he probably understands this. He probably would get on your show and tell you the same thing. Hey, listen, Colin, I've got to go out and earn the trust and the confidence of my teammates before I can expect to get, you know, given that honor of being the captain for this football team. So I'm not surprised. But if it doesn't happen after this season, then that's telling you something. He's got to earn it this season.
Finally, give me the young quarterback, the rookie, that you're really interested. If I said you got to watch one rookie quarterback in the first couple of weeks, who is it and why?
Well, you know, obviously both Zach Wilson and Trevor Lawrence are guys that are going to be out there from the get-go. I really can't wait to see Trey Lance and Justin Fields, as you discussed in your last segment. I can't wait to see those guys hit the field, and it probably will be at some point. I think ideally both of those guys, they'd love it to be the second half of the season. In the perfect world, they'd love it to be next year if their starting quarterback could get the job done and be winning football games. But as far as Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson, I want to see Trevor Lawrence. So he's got a lot of things working against him. He's a rookie, obviously. He's on a football team that has not won in a long, long time. And the unique thing about it is he's dealing with a rookie head coach, a coach who's never really had any extended NFL experience in Urban Meyer. He's never been a head football coach at this level or even an offensive or defensive coordinator. So that is a big thing, I think, a big factor, because Urban Meyer is going to be learning his way as a head coach,
yeah,
as well as Trevor Lawrence learned his way as a quarterback on a very average football team.
Yeah, average is being kind. A minute left. Big Ben's got a new OC, mostly a college guy, and basically a new O-line. What's tougher for a quarterback to adjust with, or adjust to?
Well, I think it's tougher with the offensive coordinator. The offensive line, Ben is a man's man. He's going to fit in with those offensive linemen no matter what. They have their own language. They speak up there. The new guys will learn it very quickly. That will not be an issue. And I think the statement the Steelers are making, though, is they want to change what this football team is all about. They don't want to put it on Ben's shoulder. They got Najee Harris. They got a new big offensive line. They want to go back to the Steelers of old and pound the football and try and control games with the running game and their defense, let Ben make some throws at the right times down the field and try to finish his career off on a positive note. But I don't have any doubt, Colin, if he struggles this year, you know, when they get to the midseason point, I would not be surprised if they did make a change, if they felt it was because of his poor play.
Yeah. Yeah. Steve, great seeing you. Thanks. Appreciate it, man.
You got to call it anytime.
Yeah. Listen, we said this. Dwayne Haskins, Jameis Winston got a second chance. Sounds like a new guy. I mean, literally grateful. His body changed. His attitude changed. Dwayne Haskins is interesting. He's got some Big Ben qualities. He doesn't move as well as Ben did in his prime. But Dwayne's big arm, can make big throws downfield. And Pittsburgh's got the receivers. Pittsburgh's always got playmakers on the perimeter. It's very interesting. Big Ben hurt. Big Ben struggles. You know, not everybody's ready to go at 22. Some guys need to be humbled. I mean, Dwayne Haskins got humbled. They just let him go. Jameis Winston, humbled. My takeaway is there's the Pittsburgh situation. Keep your eye on it, because I don't think it's going to last long. And generally, the last year for a legendary quarterback, it gets choppy fast. Casper, They're having their Labor Day online sale. Casper.com. Limited time. 15% off mattresses, 10% off pillows and sheets, and more. That is Casper's Labor Day sale. Okay, Greg Cosell's around the corner. We are packed today. Jimmy Johnson, the legend, is joining us too. Football season is officially here. Live in Los Angeles for Joy & Company, it's The Herd.